grace is overwhelmingly greater than all our sins, our shortcomings, our faults, and everything. Hallelujah. Amen. And we are positioned now to hear more of that. God's precious, magnificent grace. Grace that brought us. Grace that keeps us. Oh, Lord God. Grace that made us. Hallelujah. Oh, God. We ask the Lord's blessing on our speaker, Elder William Liverman, and the message as it projects all over this globe through our webcast productions. Let us sit attentively and expectantly as Elder William Liverman give us the gospel of the grace of God. Let's receive him with a hearty amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank God. Amen. 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 Thank God for another day. Amen. Thank God for another day where the Lord has brought us all together one more time. Amen. Thank God for his goodness, his grace, his kindness, his love, and his mercy. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness, your goodness, and your mercy. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come forth one more time to exalt Christ, to magnify Christ and his eternal workings. Oh God, bless your people today, Father. Bless the ministry here via the web, via that goes worldwide, Father. Continue to bless the members here, Father, even those that are on the way, Father. We ask that you continue to strengthen him and bless our pastor as he continues to rest and recover. Thank you, Lord, for all the different gifts of the ministry here, Father. We just thank you, Lord. We ask that put aside flesh, self, everything, only Christ. Christ is magnified today. Let the word of God be exalted as we focus on the doctrines of grace. We thank you for your goodness, kindness, and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank God. Amen. Okay. Is everybody excited? Amen. Oh, come on now. I know you're excited about Christ. Come on, y'all. Amen. Amen. Now, before we get started, the adults, primarily, you should have a document, Brother Randall. Be sure that everyone, the document there, and the title is Our Eternal Relationship with God. Amen. Okay? That's the document that you should have. Amen? And what we're going to do, church, this is for those of you that weren't here the last time I was up 3 weeks ago. We've already started this, and we're going to focus on Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, but we're going to begin the fourth paragraph, amen, which is the first part of that, the eternal transformation, which is one, that's the fourth paragraph. Now, you should have that, amen, you should have, again, the document. And we're going to begin, by the help of God's grace, with the fourth paragraph. Now, before we do that, there are some things that we need to kind of build up to before we actually get into the document. So, of course, we're going to start with the scripture. Now, when we read the scripture, Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4, the entire document covers the exegesis in that. So, when we, after Deacon Gavin, read the scripture, Deacon, you can actually go into the King James and the Greek. And when you verse 4, I want you to read that in the, you can read verse 1 through 4 in the King James, and verse 4, read that in the Greek, amen. And then, what we'll do is cover some few things, then we'll get right into the document, okay? So again, the base scripture, church, today is Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Deacon Gavin, as I read it, you may begin.
Reading from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, beginning the first verse, King James Version. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead. and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, verse 4.
Let's read the whole text there in the Greek.
Now, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 yes. through 4, from the interlinear Greek text. If therefore ye were co-raised with Christ, the things above seek, where Christ is at right of God sitting. The things above mind ye, not the things on the earth. Ye died, for ye died, and the life of you has been hidden with Christ in God.
Amen.
Whenever Christ is manifested, the life of us, that also ye with him will be manifested in glory.
Amen. Now, church, see, here's the importance about Greek exegesis, because even in the Greek text, even the Greek scholars miss some things here. So we'll correct this. For example, they use the word if ye be risen with Christ. It's not a matter if. You saved in eternity, you are risen with Christ. See, what they want to do is put a condition on salvation. That word, if there, is a whole a lot of insecurity there. Just that one two-letter word. You want to be secure in your salvation. Doesn't that make sense? So, in essence here, to be secure, we have to understand the workings of God as it relates to who we are in Christ. So, we'll cover this when we go into the document. The exegesis will just follow that. Now, Bill, before we get into the document, there are a couple of things we need to understand. First of all, if we know that Colossians, when you go into the Bible, whatever book you read in church, you should know, it should be clear in your mind, whether you're talking, referring to time past, but now, ages to come. These are the threefold eternal workings of God's eternal plan. Time past, he spoke through the prophets in those 39 books. Isaiah, Psalms, Daniel, others. Amen. But now, he's speaking to the body of Christ church via the 14 epistles of Paul. We're in the but now age. Time past, but now, ages to come, you're referring to those kingdom books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, amen, those kingdom books, Jude, Revelation. So understand that when you read those books, you won't read it with fear, because you know, wait a minute, this is ages to come. See, for years, Revelation scared me. Why was I so afraid of Revelation? For years, I was afraid of Matthew 24th verse. Talks about, that day, the tribulation, all this. Why? Because the teaching I had at that time and the word elect, I just said, well, that had to be me. I was not the elect. But no, God has elect in every dispensation. Seven dispensations. We are the elect in this dispensation, the dispensation of the grace of God, the body of Christ. Now, looking at this, so again, time passed. But now, ages to come. I'm going to go very slow today, because we, by the grace of God, don't want you to miss this. Now, in the workings of God, church, we mentioned that there are 14, we know there are 14 epistles written by the body of Christ via the revelation of the mystery, which was hidden in prior ages. But now, it's made alive, it has been revealed to the body of Christ via God's servant, the Apostle Paul. Amen. Now, there are 14 epistles of Paul that certify the doctrines of grace. Now, in the doctrines of grace, church, I mentioned that there are 14, it's not I have to hold it, it's there, 14 epistles
written by the Apostle Paul. You should know these 14 epistles as well as you know your ABCs. You should know them, memorize them. You should eat with these, sleep with these 14 epistles. Should what keep you focused on God's plan for your life, which is the body of Christ. You should not have any uncertainty as to the fact that these 14 epistles are for you. They are written to you. Psalms was written for you, but was not written to you. Ezekiel, Daniel, those other parts of the Bible, all God's word is written for you, but it's not written to you. So the problem with many of God's people, they are reading other people's mail. It's okay to read it, but read it with understanding to know that anything outside of Paul's writings, church, is for you, but it's not written to you. Now, in the grace contract, there are what we call grace doctrinal truths. Things that God has already done for you in eternity. Amen. Were you chosen in eternity or not? Yeah. Well, the fact that you were chosen in eternity, God has given you some truths in eternity that no one can take away because it was given to you the moment you were chosen before the foundation of the world. Yeah. And it's interesting that 14 epistles written by the Apostle Paul, there are 14 doctrinal truths that God's people need to understand. And just like the same way you understand, you need to learn those 14 epistles, you need to what? Understand these 14 doctrinal truths. Keywords, truth. 14 letters written by the Apostle Paul. It was really God, church. Understand, Paul was just what? A servant. But there are 14 doctrinal truths. Now, we'll get to the document, but we need to build up to this, okay? Number one, the doctrine of election. What is election? God's sovereign choice. Amen. In eternity. Number two, salvation. What is salvation? Our eternal relationship with God. God's provision, escape from eternal damnation. Number three, reconciliation, restoration and fellowship with God. Church, these are things God did for us in eternity. Number four, redemption, freedom from the curse of sin by payment of a price. And what is that price? Thank God, the precious blood of Jesus. Redemption. What is redemption? Freedom from the curse of sin by payment of a price. The blood of Christ. Number five, justification. Legal term, meaning to reckon or declare righteous. Number six, sanctification. Set apart as holy unto God. You were not sanctified in time, you were sanctified in eternity. And we're going to pick on Steve. We mention this because sometimes God's people think that, well, I went to church and now I belong to, I'm sanctified. Well, based on what criteria? Well, I belong to a sanctified holiness church. It's not about it. You are sanctified in eternity. When God chose you, he sanctified you. One decree, church. In fact, all of these doctrinal truths here that we're reading, it was all done by what? A saying. One decree. You were chosen. When you were chosen, God gave you this. Amen. Number seven, predestination. God's determination beforehand. Number eight, adoption. What's adoption? God's appointment of believers in sonship, children of God. Number nine, imputation. God ascribes, reckons the righteousness of Christ to our account. Number ten, propitiation, acceptable sacrifice, Lamb of God. Number 11, righteousness. What's righteousness? The standard of God. Number 12, dispensation, set of rules or policy that God dispenses that governs a period. Number 13, covenant, agreement or contract between two or more parties in covenant, church, and the covenant. It's either a unilateral covenant or a bilateral. And here's the problem that God's people have. We had mentioned Sunday school this morning, and I was so blessed with pastor's comments, and Deacon Gavin, and all the comments, because after I when I finish with the young teenagers, I run up here and get whatever I can get. Amen. Thank God. But a covenant. See, when you mix the covenants, you'd be as confused as you're mixing the messages.
You miss a, you put a mess on your hand, you miss a unilateral covenant with a bilateral covenant. You'll be saved one day on the way to hell the next day. Just like you divide the Bible according to dispensations and covenants. Amen. The unilateral or bilateral covenant need to be divided. Amen. And the 14 baptisms. That's what we talked this morning. Baptism, church. Subtopic under baptism is either a spiritual baptism for the body of Christ, which is to place into for the purpose of identification, and water to immerse or dip. Notice, these are 14 grace doctrine truths for the body of Christ. You should have knowledge, you should know these, as well as, again, as you know your ABCs. 14 epistles written by God via the vessel of the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church. And there are 14 doctrine truths, I just gave them to you, and the definition, that accompany our contract. Amen. And knowing that God gave this to you, church, in eternity, you didn't have to earn it. It was given to you. But somebody said, what do you mean it was given to me? Were you chosen? Yes, but you have them. Well, it doesn't feel, it's not based on how you feel. Amen. The fact that you have them. Amen. It's all yours. I was telling the young people in Sunday school this morning, they're so blessed being teenagers. And I was telling the grand them, they're so blessed to have this knowledge of truth that we didn't have I didn't have when I was in high school. Amen. So I told Grant and Najari, I said, y'all are blessed because you can go through life now, but it's security.
Right.
Not confused.
Right.
That you know that God has a plan for your life.
Amen.
Amen. So thank God for what he's doing for us. Amen. So, and what he did for us in eternity. Now, in the grace, I mentioned the grace contract, our contract, church. Everything in our contract is according to purpose. Everything is according to God. So you have our gospel, the 14 epistles written by the Apostle Paul, and what governs, what is embedded in those 14 epistles is everything works according to God. That you're not going to be waking up in the morning wondering, if you felt that the world just, wow, I went right and God took me left. You went left according to God. I went up, God took me down. You went down according to God. And what gives you the security is to know that your life is not an accident. It's to know that your life has been perfectly planned by God.
Amen.
Whether you understand or not.
Amen.
Amen. Everything works according to what? God. Now, with that thought of mind, let's go to the document. I just want to build up to that. Let's go to the document. Amen. Everything works according to God. Now, in the fourth paragraph, we'll begin reading this. I think everyone should have that. Everything is according to God. Not something, church. Everything. Your life is according to God. You are here according to God. Now let's begin reading. This eternal transformation of the believer in Genesis of spiritual resurrection that is to be practically displayed and implored manifesting in time. In effect, Paul is conveying how God's people are to live and what they are to prioritize. Here, attention is drawn to what believers are to value above all else. They are to seek or literally pursue after, strive after, and endeavor to attain unto things above. Now, church, I want you to keep in mind, if you have a pen, underline things above. Because we're starting out on things above, and we're going to end on things above. Amen. Keep reading. Note that this Greek verb denotes a continuous command to focus on the above things. This eliminates all options to the contrary. Thus, those who are spiritually resurrected are to be spiritually oriented in the sphere of the non-material, non-physical, and unseen arena. Next paragraph. Note the alternatives
are either things above, which are all inherent in Christ, or things upon the earth, wherein Satan is the god of this world, as well as the prince and power of the air. Reference in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Ephesians 2:2. It is apparent that both cannot be simultaneously accommodated. Here is it important to distinguish, let's turn the page, back. It is important to distinguish, I think everybody had that, the messages of the gospel, church. Note in Matthew 6:33 that Jesus promises physical necessities as it is definitely concomitant with the earthly kingdom. On the other hand, there are no promises of physical rewards in the heavens or the sphere of future manifestation of glory in the essence of the body of Christ as recipients thereof. As such, is irrelevant in the spiritual sphere. See? We're in the what? Eternal sphere, spiritual sphere, church. We live what? In the physical body, inhabited in the physical earth, but our abode is in the heavens in Christ. Amen. Amen. Next paragraph. Note the phrase rendered the things above. In this expression, things should not be construed to connote anything physical, concrete, or seen, as the inference actually conveys spiritual, abstract, and physical unseen entities that are only depicted in the vertical eternal sphere of God. In this light, we focus on the phrase rendered where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God, where the concentration is in the heavenly sphere, which are not so much on things, but on the essence of Christ and our place in Him as members in the body. Stop here. Church, you see this? Let's stop for a moment. Our essence is who we are in Christ. Our essence is Christ. Christ is our life. Not what happens in the matrix. And the problem with a lot of God's people, they are governed by what pops up in the matrix. And the matrix will drive you crazy. Because the matrix is, if the light moving in that matrix, anything can pop up. But whatever pops up is still according to what purpose. But whatever crazy thing pops up in that matrix, you better get your focus back to the things above. Because these things can never change. Amen. So God's people need to have some what? Walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, things above. By sight, what's in the matrix. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Amen. Let's go back to the document. I don't know about y'all. I'm excited. Amen. Now, in the light, we focus on this phrase rendered where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God, where the concentration is in the heaven sphere, which are not so much on things, but on the essence of Christ and our place in Him as members of His body. Hence, our heavenly abode is not invested in physical places, things, or conditions, but is all consummated in Christ. It is in Him who occupies the ultimate position of favor, which right hand connotes what God is pleased with. Romans 8:34, Ephesians 1:20. Accordingly, our focus and attention is transfixed on where Christ is. Where is Christ? You know, Christ is above, church. He's the head with the body. It's not if Christ is above. He is above. See, that they got this thought out. Poor word. If you be sitting. See, they want to put a condition on the workings of God. Understand, church, before we go to the next paragraph. In the grace contract, there are no conditions. You are saved, period. And Sunday school this morning, when I had the last glimpse of Sunday school here, we were talking about people that have been trained in these these religious systems to either put baptisms, tongues, church attendance, all these conditions. The only thing they will breed is insecurity. The secure sphere is where Christ is. And He is the head, we're the body. So I'm going through all these things. Pray, Lord, elevate my thinking, Lord, for me to focus on who you are and what you did for me in eternity, which is what? The eternal plan. The plan that can never change, church. Things in the matrix, up and down, inside out. Why? Because in a depraved mind, in a depraved, this present evil age, things change. But in the eternal sphere, and I thought about this, you know, I thought about this. The Apostle Paul's been dead 2,000 years, but guess what? Has justification died? Has propitiation died? Has the workers of God died? No, because the workers of God dwells from God, and God can never die, so everything that flows from Christ can never die. That's why they thought Jesus was crazy. Even the kingdom gospel, they says, he that believeth in me shall never die. See, he was, they didn't get it. They said, wait a minute, he's 40 years. Wait a minute, he never died. See, there, Jesus, even the kingdom gospel. But you don't get the essence of what Jesus is saying. You have to go to our contract to understand you can never die in terms of the new person. Somebody said, wait a minute, I died, the person died yesterday. No, what happened? Absent from the body, present the Lord. That was, that God took that person out of the time capsule. Their course, their purpose was fulfilled. And the only reason you're here now, the only reason you're here, your purpose hasn't been fulfilled. When your, when God's purpose for your life has been fulfilled, church, you're out of here.
I hear you.
And see, this clears up a lot of things. There's not a person here. How many of you in your life, some, at one point or another, you woke up and you said, how did I get out? I should have been, I should have gotten killed. How many? You've been there. The only reason that happened wasn't about you. God's purpose was not fulfilled. Now, so your neighbor could have gone through the same thing. Boom, they check out. Why? Their purpose was fulfilled. Amen? Next paragraph. This is certified in verse 2 from the Greek text. He was still doing exegesis. Think on the things above and not on the things upon the earth. The commanded word in this verse is the verb rendered think. Have in mind, care for, or be concerned about. It stresses the importance of this directive to God's people in expressing the operations of our minds. We in think, reason, meditate, reflect, and contemplate. Thus, our minds are to be actively engaged in thinking, intellectually comprehending, and reasoning concerning the above sphere, namely in Christ Jesus. Here, the emphasis is on intelligently informed objectives and non-emotional continuous concentration on the sphere that is expressed by the revelation of truth pertaining to Christ as the head of the church and its application to his elect, the body of Christ. Everything in the dispensation of church, let's talk here for a moment in this paragraph, because I'm going to mention a couple other things. Church, everything in this dispensation, the focus is on Christ. And we know the focus is on Christ, and we are part of his body, so the workings of God in this generation is not on Israel. Hello, church. God has a plan for Israel, but that plan is on hold. He's working today via the body of Christ. And you want to have a confused mess on your hand. You go over there in the kingdom gospel, and you take what a message that God has on hold, and you try to apply that to this dispensation. You will be confused. Time passed, church, but now, ages to come. Amen. Now, we are talking about the above things. We are to focus on the above things. And here is the area. Here's another area where God's people miss it. They say, okay, they'll say, Pastor and Deacon Gavin, Elder Karen, Elder Nicholson. Okay, y'all talking about the above things. So you don't understand. I'm dealing with either my job, my family, my relationships. See, I mean, I can pray about the above things, but I got to focus on these, how I deal with these things. See, that's the whole thing, church. We live in the time capsule. We know that. We live in time, but for we to have our cogitation should be on the eternal things. But we deal with the eternal things from the vertical view. You look, go to Paul's epistles. It's amazing. I was focusing on Paul's epistles. It's amazing. He's in those epistles, he takes you right to the vertical view. And some of the crazy things that occurred in Paul's day, he dealt with those things from the vertical view. And after he dealt with those things, he took the church right back. He had the vertical view, then he dealt with some things, whatever was going on, and then he came right back to, the vertical view, the horizontal, based upon the problems. How many know Paul had problems in the churches at that time? Come on. But everything was focused on what? The vertical view. So having said that, amen, the methodology of our gospel, everything focused on the vertical view. You deal with the horizontal view from what? The vertical view perspective. Amen. So bear with me, because I'm going to take about 8 minutes and we're going to do a little horizontal teaching, but we're going to do it from the vertical view. And that way, everything is focused on what? Who Christ is. But if you try to solve the problem, church, looking in the matrix, you'll be disappointed and confused.
I hear you.
You work with the problems in the matrix that manifest in that matrix. You work with these, the help of the Spirit of God. Your thinking should be dealing with this from the vertical view.
I hear you.
Having said that, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. Now, before we begin reading, let me just say something about Paul's letter to Timothy here. And see, you remember I mentioned, you deal with life from the vertical view. I'm going to say that again. Can't say it enough. Church, by the help of God, I know we can't do anything within ourselves, but our prayer, Lord, help me to deal. Help me, because you can't do anything on your own. Lord, help me to see your insight, your revelation. Give that to me from the vertical view. Now, before we get into this, let's say this in terms of a horizontal view. There's some things, church, that we need to understand. Even in the kingdom gospel, Peter writes, dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, there are certain things that you need to understand, that we need to understand. First of all, it's one characteristic of depravity. And we mentioned this at our men's fellowship yesterday. And Pastor brought out a good point. The characteristic of depravity is opposition. Let's take it further. One characteristic of depravity does not like to be told what to do. Come on, church, come on. Whether it's the situation of the husband, the wife, on the job, because of our depraved nature, depravity does not like to be dictated to. You have to fight that all the time. That's the characteristic of depravity. Now, the Bible tells us, if you know that, you dwell, when I say dwell, whether it's a husband, wife, whether it's a job situation, you dwell in life knowing that human flesh is oppositional. Now, you know that human flesh is oppositional, and your flesh is oppositional. If you don't deal with these things from the vertical view, you have flesh against flesh. Ain't nothing happening. You ain't going nowhere fast. But you deal with opposition via the medium of the vertical view. I tell you, to keep that thought in mind, let's go here, because we're going to look at Paul's epistles. Paul writes to Timothy. Deacon Gavin, read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 7.
2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And the things that thou hast heard of me among the many witnessings, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also.
Mm-hmm.
Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things.
Verse 8, Dave.
Consider what I say.
Go to verse 8, Dave.
And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember, verse 8, that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel.
Now, Paul was writing to Timothy. I'm going very slow. I come up again 3 weeks. Paul writes to Timothy and tells Timothy, Timothy, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. What is the all things that the Lord is going to give Timothy? I wasn't there, but I'm convinced when Paul told Timothy verse 8 to Timothy. Look what Paul tells Timothy verse 8. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Not according to the law, not according to kingdom, but he was raised from the dead according to what? My gospel. And then in the same context there, church, notice. Verse 7 and 8 follows the same thought process. That consider what I say, the Lord give the understanding regarding what? That Jesus Christ was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, looking at this, some people that Paul was bragging. I remember years ago we had a retreat. I think some couple there. You remember the teachers and my wife, a couple of the teachers there belong to this apostolic church. But I'm not going to apostolic churches, but they were talking about the laying on the hands and the casting out devils. And so my wife and her humility say, well, what about Paul's writing? Oh, Paul, he brags. She said, wait a minute, he brags. Oh, he's talking about my gospel. Wait, he's Paul's not bragging. What was Paul saying? The message that God gave to me, this was my gospel. In terms of me, no one else received it but Paul at that time. So he said, Timothy, consider that this is my gospel. And the Lord, Timothy, will give you understanding in this fact. See, a lot of times we think that when things are said that God's servants just headed overnight. No, it means that it's a process. So understand, consider what I say. The Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, let's take this, what Paul is saying here, and let's take, they could do about 5 minutes of some horizontal teaching. What do they say? Understand, human nature is what? Depraved. They don't have to be told nothing. It's just a nature of depravity. It's no use for the husband. Let's say that. It's no use for the husband to tell his wife, pick on her. But listen. Well, I love you, but you know what? You have to improve your cooking. Wait a minute. You're going to say that? You know how I love you, but you need to improve your cooking. Wait a minute. It says here, dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, if you know that what flesh is oppositional, there's a way to deal with that. What you do? There are 4 words. I'm just going to talk about a little experience. 4 words I learned, church. Based on what Paul is saying here, but taking this up to the vertical view. 4 words that many times would diffuse depression, depravity. Honey, daughter, who is honey? Perhaps we should consider. In other words, if there's a cooking issue, honey, I saw some of these magazines the other day about cooking. Perhaps, if there are so many creative recipes, honey, perhaps we should consider. You're taking this book, and we can kind of, maybe we can kind of get some idea. Oh, but you're not just being overhead, church. Perhaps we should consider. And it's another thing, too, I learned, church. You can criticize anyone as long as you include yourself. Depravity is not like to be told what to do, but when you include yourself, honey, maybe we should consider you taking a few quotes. We. Because depravity is not like to be preached to. But when you say we, you are what? Including yourself. Husband, he's gone all the time. The wife, man, why don't you spend more time with the kids? You're gone all the time. Wait a minute. You know that depravity is not like to be told what to do. So what? Honey, perhaps we should consider you spending more time at home. And by the way, you can even, do golf, whatever. But we can choose a night where we can spend time together. So rather than you beat him up, let's say what? Perhaps we should consider. You ain't had a raise in 5 years on a job and you bursting now. Mr. Boss Man, I need a raise. I need a raise. I called my attorney. Wait a minute. Depravity does not like to be told what to do. Mr. Boss Man, perhaps we should consider me getting a raise. And by the way, I even outlined some things that I've done here. Perhaps we should consider. It diffuses, church, because, again, the nature of flesh is oppositional. Paul tells Timothy, consider what I say. Consider what we say. It's what? It's dealing with things from what? The horizontal plateau, church. Amen. In fact, I'm going to say this, we get back to the couple of things. I was doing my commencement exercise, and we were waiting to march in the ceremony, and I was talking to these doctoral students, and one of them made a comment, this student, they were in my class, and if they had stayed long, they should have been here. I was listening. You know, they should have been here. And I was listening. Another one said, yeah, they dropped out too quick. If they had stayed in, they should have been here. They didn't study hard enough. And so what? Notice I did. Now, rather than beating them up, I said, colleagues, perhaps we should consider that it wasn't God's will for them to be here. Oh, you know what? I never thought about that. Perhaps we should consider that what? Maybe God had another plan for their life. Now, if I had came there and said, wait a minute, what's wrong with y'all? You know what? Yeah, now you have doctoral students just went through a rigor of a dissertation, and you can tell them everything was actualized by God's eternal decree. What's wrong with you? I just say, well, perhaps we should consider. And they say, oh, that makes sense. See what you're doing? What you're doing, you're taking things because what? Human flesh does not like to be told what to do, church. I tell you, let's corroborate one thing. They can go. We can corroborate a scripture. Go to Proverbs. Read 15:1-2. Read this loud and clear, these two verses.
I'm reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 15. Verses 1 and 2.
Now notice, church. Now notice what I said. Notice I didn't say we're not going here for what? Direction. Did I say that? No. We're going here to corroborate what we just mentioned. Now we're going to corroborate. Read this, please.
Proverbs 15, verse 1. Mm-hmm. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger.
Wait a minute, church. Let me tell you something. What did Solomon say? A soft answer turns away wrath. Solomon didn't know what he was writing. He wrote what God told him to write. Why does a soft answer turn away wrath and grievous words stir up anger? Because Solomon, the information we have is that people are depraved and grievous words will stir up that depravity. But from the vertical view, our view is that, consider what I say, everything be all depraved, but from the vertical view, we know this, so what? A soft answer many times with what? Turn away wrath. Now, somebody say, I was soft and they still got mad. Well, that was the decree. Everything is governed by the decree. You do what? In other words, we'll talk about using wisdom and processes. You're not going to change God's mind. But we're all referring to using wisdom and processes. Now, go back to, let's see, again, there was 8 minutes on the horizontal. Let's go back to the vertical. In the essence of Christ and what God did for us in eternity, what will give you liberation? Our gospel is a liberation gospel. It's a liberating gospel. Many of God's people, and even the situation we gave you about a soft answer and turns away wrath and what, consider, these are just processes. But the ultimate outcome in this situation is based on God's decree. And God's decree is via the medium of what? Everything is according to God. When you go through life, life gives you a hard knock on the face. Whatever that situation is, church, it was according to God. But somebody say, I don't understand it. Well, if you don't understand it at that moment, it is according to God. Everything is according to God. And people that, see what happens, people go through life, what? Experiences, and they try to figure those situations out from the horizontal plane. The body of Christ, what governs the body of Christ is, your life is according to God. And when God put things in your life, you can't question God, because you will know that this situation is according to God. Lord, you gave me Jezebel for a wife. That was according to God. Lord, my husband is an alcoholic. According to God. Lord, my marriage is in trouble. According to God. Lord, my children are about to run me crazy. According to God. Lord, Christians are being persecuted in these nations, other countries. According to God. Lord, I wanted to go left, you took me right, according to God. Lord, I've been up, you took me down, according to God. Lord, I went to the doctor, and the doctor gave me the big C word. And I'm fearful, Lord. He gave me a C report. That was according to God. The Lord, our life, is according to God. But what governs our life, church? What keeps us focused? Is the eternal view. Looking at life from above. The things above. The things above will keep us anchored in the things below. I'm going to say it one more time. Focusing on the things above will solidify you on the things below. Focusing on what God did for you in eternity will keep you secure in what happens in time. Because what gives you comfort is that it came to pass. Do you know what? You know what? The church, that should be, everyone should be jumping up and down spiritually. Wait a minute. Whatever is before my eyes, it's not going to be here forever. But somebody said, you can tell me that. Well, listen. Amen. Understand, patience is also a virtue. But somebody said, it's been 10 years. That 10 years is according to God. Because, see, we're captivated in time. We think 10 years is a long time. But to what? That's only time, which is a what? Creation by God. For His purpose. Not for your purpose. For His purpose. Now, we can close on a scripture. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 through 8. Paul writes to the Philippians. Amen. One of my favorite books. Deacon, read 4 verses 1 through 8, please. Very familiar passage here. Philippians 4, verse 1 through 8.
Verse 1 of Philippians 4, King James Version. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Rejoice, yes.
And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
And the criteria to keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, dig and read verse 8, please, loud and clear. Verse 8.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just,
whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
I want you to go back to verse 8. Leave off the "ours," because if you have in your internet Greek church, you know, see, somebody says, well, it doesn't throw a mean off. But see, you don't need a help. God doesn't need a help. If it's not there, why put it there?
Mm-hmm.
So, I want you to read that, but leave off those, see, those words "are." If you have a good, even your King James, mm-hmm. the word "are" is probably in italics.
Mm-hmm.
So, read that again, but leave off the "are," okay, in these three instances, okay?
Verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4 again. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things true, whatsoever things honest, whatsoever things just, whatsoever things pure, whatsoever things lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Think on these things, church. As a spiritual being created in the image of God, you belong to Christ. I'm close on this. Everyone here, you're thinking on something. There's something that's captivating your mind. But the key is, many of God's people are thinking on the wrong things. Many of God's people are thinking below. They are thinking in the matrix. It just tells us, but some it says here, think on these things. Well, I'm going to pick on the word "lovely" today, because it says, well, are you going to think on good things or what? Things that pop up in the matrix. I'm going to end the way I began. We are to think on good things. In fact, verse 8 is synonymous with, we started with Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 4. We are to think on the above things. We are to think on the good things. What are those good things? I'm going to finish the same way I started. I tell you, the good things, election is a good thing. Salvation is a good thing. Reconciliation is a good thing. Redemption is a pure thing. Justification is a good thing. Sanctification is a good thing. Predestination is a good thing. Adoption is a good thing. Imputation is a good thing. Propitiation is a lovely thing. Righteousness is a good thing. Dispensation is a good thing. Covenant is a good thing. Spiritual baptizing the body of Christ is a good thing. It's a good thing. And I go to my grave and proclaim it, that the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is a good thing. And that is the gospel of the grace of God.